Physically, we are more divided than ever before. But Dr. Wilton's message today, called We Are United, reminds us something different. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And in his message, We Are United, we'll gain some understanding from the book of 1 Peter, as a matter of fact, and Dr. Don Wilton's insight on this passage about how we can pull together even when we are spread apart. One of the joys of the technology that many of us are embracing now more than ever is that we can rediscover the power of a conversation. If you'd like to talk with someone, have someone pray with you, don't forget our number. Jot it down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. It's our goal to encourage you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, friends, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, you're going to need your Bibles. These are very exciting days, and these are very meaningful days, and I cannot even begin to tell you how very deeply excited I am to share with you what God is about to say to us this morning. Our theme, as we've been studying through 1 Peter, is just very simply stated, living it up. Living it up is not just about a smile on your face, because there are many people who can't do that. You know, we've had people this week who have been deeply bereaved, the passing of a loved one. My point being that you and I, we come together like this, don't misunderstand what God is saying here. Some of you right now don't feel like smiling on your outward face. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real life. We're talking about the ability to be able to live up because of what Christ does for us. It's about being a believer. And Peter repeatedly, right throughout the scriptures here, presents to us the very fabric of our relationship with him. And so today I'm going to look at a wonderful subject, albeit briefly. We are united. Let me tell you about everybody here today, thousands of us right now, and all across the United States and everywhere in the world, it doesn't matter where you're from. When you know Christ, when you have repented of your sin and by faith you've received Christ and Christ comes into your life by his Spirit, something happens that you and I cannot even begin to define. All of a sudden, we become one. We are united in him. And what we're going to discover today is God is going to tell us how to do this. This is kind of like nuts and bolts. So today, you and I worship the Lord. And like me, you're saying, well, look, I'm a believer. I know Christ, but you know, I'm really battling to be one with my fellow believers. I've still got issues that separate me. I battle with racism. I battle with culturalism. I battle with people who are not like me. I battle with people who don't look like me. I battle with life. I mean, you just think about the politics of America today and how our nation is divided. Just forget about all of that for a minute. Just lay that all aside. I want to read to you here an incredible passage. You ready for this? 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just using two verses today. This is two verses in a trough of God's righteousness. I mean, there is so much here that I promise you, my beloved friends, there is so much that is so rich and awesome here about God, about what God tells us about ourselves. This is what he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you, talking to believers, have unity of mind. Roughly translated, if you were to go into the original text, he says, excuse me a minute, hello, you're a believer, are you? Be harmonious. You are unified. You are not divided. You are not the United States Congress. You are not black and white and red and yellow. You are not rich and poor, because Christ has done something for you and in you that's just magnificent. Now watch this. All right, I'll discipline myself and read both verses without stopping. Finally, all of you believers, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, in order that you may receive a blessing. That little word harmony there, or unity, is a wonderful word. I love it, because what it speaks to is this whole variety brought together into one. So if you were to just look at us today, look at believers in our beautiful land today, think of how different we are. You know, someone once told me, they said to me, you know, the biggest challenge facing the local church is that it's filled with people. I didn't say that. I want you just think, can you just think about the biggest challenge facing any church congregation is that it's filled with people. Now, why would people say that? Just look at us. We're all different. We're older, we're younger, we're richer, we're poorer, we're different colors, we're different cultures, we're different persuasions. We love this, we love that, we love our eggs up this way and some down that way. Some like ketchup and others love tomato sauce. I mean, we've got the whole nine yards. We are very different, all of us. So how do you define what's happened even in this church? People are telling us all the time, you cannot have a group of believers come together, all of us with our own dispositions and our own personalities, our own ways of doing things, our own personal preferences. How can you have a congregation with thousands of people and there is no dysfunction? How does that happen? See, Peter's trying to show us something here. Now, here's what I want to do. You got to get ready for this. When he presents this issue of spiritual Christian unity, he doesn't just say, you are to be united, you are to be one. I will look at that and I'll say, yep, okay, that's what I'm supposed to be. But how does this happen? What can I do? Well, he begins to unpack this. Let me unpack this for you for just a few moments. Here's how we are to be united. Number one, by being sympathetic. Now, he uses this word here, sympathy. Sympathetic. It really carries with it, in a spiritual context, three very deeply significant things for us as believers in Christ. If you want to be united, you want to be one with people other than yourself. You want to find a point of absolute agreement in the sense that you are willingly submissive to one another in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you find yourself actually laying down your own perspectives in order that Christ may be lifted up and glorified. God's word says you need to be sympathetic. That's a spiritual word. Most of us associate sympathy with weeping with someone when they lose a loved one, and that's certainly not incorrect. But in a spiritual sense, and here Peter carries three ideas. Number one, it means to be aware of, take cognizance of. To be aware spiritually means that what I do as a believer is that I literally ask God by His Spirit to create in me a spiritual awareness of another person's place in life. Now, I'm not telling you this in order for you to think that I'm any better than anybody here today. But before I came to worship today, in my private study, I stopped, I bowed my head, I said, Lord Jesus, as I go amongst a people that I love very dearly, please help me not to just be the preacher. Please help me not to just do a job, but please help me in a spiritual way to have a spiritual awareness of every person. This is not rocket science. It's a spiritual thing. You want to become one as Christ commands us to be.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. And though he's right, it's not rocket science. For most of us, it's something we have to work at, this sense of being sensitive and aware as God calls us to be. I'm afraid that my human nature, maybe yours as well, it just, we develop a selfish perspective on just what about what's going on in my life. I've discovered in my own particular family and friends that right now, especially because of all that's going on with the coronavirus, we have been turning our attention to helping others, people down the street, like setting up a system where we can have one of our senior adults put a note in the door. We check with them every day at the end of the day at 6 o'clock just to see how they're doing. Whatever it might be, as we begin to turn our attention to others, God reminds us that's what Jesus calls us to do all the time. Following Christ's commands as Christ's followers is something you don't have to do on your own. Perhaps you're finding yourself a little alone in this situation and would like to have someone praying with you or for you. Don't forget our number. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. It's 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online as well at tewonline.org. T-E-W for The Encouraging Word. That's tewonline.org. Not just now, but 24 hours a day. We'd love to call and enjoy that call with you, to speak with you and encourage you keyboard to keyboard online. Now let's dive back into today's message. We are united with Dr. Don Wilton.
Be sympathetic. It means, first of all, to be aware. Second of all, to feel with another. To feel. Means that your heart, soul is being touched by other people's journey. And three, it literally means to walk in another person's shoes. If you think of the big conflicts that go on in America, in any society, one of the biggest battles we have as a people is our refusal to walk in another's shoes. It's kind of like my way or the highway. We're going to do it my way. I don't care what happens to you. Now, because Christ comes into our heart and into our life, this is a deep thing here, folks. Can you imagine what would happen to the church in America if all the believers in every church and in every university and every hallway and every campus just simply made a commitment before the Lord that by His Spirit they were going to become sympathetic? Can you feel that? Can you imagine if every time the doors of the church opened, when you walked into church, you carried in your soul spirit a spiritual discipline of sympathy at work, on that campus? How are we unified? By being sympathetic. Number two, by being brotherly. Now watch what he says here. He says brotherly love. brotherly, sisterly love. How much do we need to talk about this? I want you to know that you're not just anybody. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you getting along? Everything changes. Brotherly love. Sisterly love. That's how you're unified in Christ. This is a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's what Christ does in me. It's what Christ does in you. And what Peter is saying here is he's saying, this is your spiritual disposition because Christ has come into your life and by his Spirit, he has transformed you from inside. Therefore, if any man, any woman, any boy, or any girl is in Christ, he or she become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become brand new. So what he's doing here, he's unpacking in many ways the means by which I and you are able to carry out in a spiritual discipline manner. Listen, the Christian life is a doing word. It's a living, active ingredient. That's why I'm so grateful. I'm so proud of you as a congregation. Folks, I say this with all the love in my heart. I am so humbled and deeply grateful, proud in a spiritual sense. I'm so grateful for the way in which you conduct yourselves as a people. Because this is the will of God for us. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are churches around the country that have 5 deacons, and it's a war zone every time they get together. Well, I think this, and I'm going to tell you that, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to play with you, and you did this, and I want you to know if you don't do that, and I want this. Do you know that I have not in over 20 years seen, I haven't seen a single person walk into this congregation and say, who's that sitting in my chair? Are you listening to me? This is what he's talking about here. This is the reality of spiritual unity. And look what it produces. How are we unified? By being sympathetic, by being brotherly, by being sisterly, which means to love personally, individually, but it also means to love unconditionally. That's the love of Christ. Number 3, how am I unified? By being kind-hearted. Look there, he said it. I didn't say it. God's word, a tender heart. I love that. That little word there, the word tender, means that you and I have a kindness about us that emanates from deep within our soul system. Don't you just love being around really kind people? They're just kind. To be kind-hearted means to feel deeply. It means to respond tenderly. Now you talk about spiritual disciplines in my life, in Don's life. That's been a spiritual discipline for me. And my younger years and not so younger years, my personality disposition was far more intolerant. Like intolerant. If you're intolerant of other people, you brittle. It's like, you know, I don't care what you think. God's word says, listen, because of my Spirit in you, you are united. And what I do by means of my Spirit is that I knead your inner soul spirit and I tenderize your disposition. And you know, we're living in such a scared world. We think like being tenderized minimizes us. Some of us men, if I could just say men, don't misunderstand this. Some men feel, look, you know, if I in any way respond in a tenderized way, that it's minimizing my manhood somehow. It's making me less than. You know something? It's the exact opposite. I can't tell you how many times I've had the privilege of conducting funeral services for wonderful godly men. And it's amazing how children and spouses and family members get up one after the other and say, "Oh man, I miss my daddy so much. I just loved him. He had such a tender heart. He was so kind to us, but he was every bit daddy." There's no sacrifice here of the things that are right. I mean, Peter's really got something here. United by being sympathetic and being brotherly, being kind-hearted. Number four, by being humble. He says that straight out, having a humble mind, humble heart. Humility. You know, humility that's a tough one, isn't it? You ever thought about humility? That's a tough one. Most of us are not too fond of that. It's not like we'll chalk that one up and say, "You know what? I think I'll just love." You know, we all love that song, you know, "So hard to be humble when we're perfect in every way." And really, in many ways, that's a character disposition. It's a great song and we quote it and all the rest of it, but it's the reality of our lives. There's so many people that I see here today. I thank God for the humility that I have learned from so many of you. It's an amazing thing. Some awfully big people who are so humble. Some wonderful people who are so humble. And in their humility, their greatness seems to rise in a meteoric fashion. It's the blueprint of who Jesus is. When I think about humility, you know, I think of the Lord Jesus in the garden of his betrayal. This is the Lord Jesus. About to be betrayed, and out come all the troops and everything, and they get out their swords, and Peter, love Peter, we're reading his epistle here. Peter, of course, he's out there to defend the faithful, man, and he gets out a sword, chops off the soldier's ear. What did Jesus do? He said, "Peter, let's not do that." Humility. It's never give me, it's what can I do for you. It's never my bowl of yogurt, it's you take my bowl of yogurt. It's never get me coffee, it's can I get you coffee. It's all backwards. In our church, I see this in so many people. My life has been so deeply impacted and enriched by so many, many of you men and women in this congregation. You have a spirit of humility that is bar none. How are we united? He said, "You are united. You live it up because you've got something that only Christ can give you. You're united by being sympathetic and brotherly and kind-hearted and humble." And he also puts this in, he says, "You're united by being a blessing." I love that last little salvo, so to speak, where he says, just be a blessing. And somehow in this final little salvo, he says, "For to this you were called in order that you may obtain." You might receive a blessing. There it is. There it is. This is what happens now. Because we are united in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, our disposition is to engage in constant random acts of kindness. It's like we just can't help ourselves. We just want to bless others. And here's what the Lord says. I'm just going to bless you back.
What a glorious challenge as we launch into this midweek. I pray that your Wednesday has already begun to be impacted by the power of the Word of God. As we've studied with Dr. Don Wilton these last few moments from 1 Peter about we are united. Because the Lord does just bless you back. The more we strive to follow after Christ, the more we strive to put others first, God empowers us with a wonderful sense of blessing and a reality of blessing as well. But you know, the greatest blessing is to begin the relationship with Christ so that you know you belong to Him. Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Please take a moment and listen to perhaps the most important thing our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, is going to say today.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and perhaps more than that, you've been hearing the voice of God calling you home because He loves you and has a plan for your life, a wonderful purpose for your life, and it is a good plan. We would love to celebrate what God's done in your life. Maybe you've just given your heart to Jesus or come home and rededicated your life to Jesus. If it's either of those things, Dr. Don has a unique, special bit of information, a wonderful packet he'd love to put in your hands, and we'll do so if you call us and let us know. That's right. You can call us at 866-899-9673, and we have wonderful resources that will jumpstart your Christian walk, help you connect more keenly to the Bible itself, and also connect to a local Bible-believing church. That's our goal, is to help you find that spot. Both Michelle and Jim on our team are every day talking with friends and helping them connect to that right church in your area. And right now, as we're disconnected, perhaps it's a perfect time for you to re-decide, okay, I need to be plugged into a local fellowship. Even though it might be electronically or phone-wise, let us help you find that right church to plug into. It's an important part of the Christian life. Speaking of important part of the Christian life, we have a lot of ways to connect. The phone is one of my favorites. I do love to talk and listen. 866-899-9673. But Liz is also going to remind you that getting online is a great way to connect as well.
Are you in need of some encouragement? Do you have a friend or loved one that could use some cheering up? Do you need help finding a church to attend? Perhaps you want to know how to lead a friend to Jesus. We're here to help. Visit twonline.org. It's like having a Christian bookstore at your fingertips 24 hours a day. You can submit prayer requests and praise reports, request a copy of the Daily Encouraging Word devotional by email, even in Spanish, make donations to the Encouraging Word, purchase Christian messages and books to grow your faith and to encourage others. Discover how to lead someone to Jesus. Request help in finding a church. Visit twonline.org. We would love to hear how the radio broadcast is making an impact on your life. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another great message from Dr. Don Wilton and the Bible itself, God's encouraging word about being purpose-driven, tomorrow on The Encouraging Word.